Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
High noon in the District of Columbia. You're listening to B-Mitch and Finley, and it's time for us to get on the phone lines, get down to Florida, and talk to our friend J.C. Allen. J.C. Allen covers the Bucks for SI Now and Bucks Game Day, Vice President of Pro Football Writers of America in Tampa. J.C., what's up, dude? Thank you for making time for us.
Yeah, absolutely. What's going on, guys? How we doing?
Doing well, man.
We're getting fired up for this matchup, dude. You know, week one feels like it was 5 years ago.
It does.
I know.
What's the vibe in Tampa about getting Washington in the first round?
Yeah, it's funny. I think last time I was on the show, I said, you know, it's a little too early, I think, for the Commanders. But who knows? Maybe we'll see each other down the road. And, hey, here we are after two good seasons by both of these teams. I think the vibe here is if you're going to get anyone – and not to take the Commanders lightly at all, but, you know, you wanted the Commanders or the Packers. You wanted that 3 seed. And, you know, there's a lot of optimism around Tampa Bay right now with Bucks fans and their thoughts that, hey, this could be, you know, a team that it's going to be a hard-fought game, but one that they can win and, you know, potentially maybe host another game here in Raymond James Stadium. But make no bones about it. When you look at this Commanders team, they are good. They're good on both sides of the ball, and they're going to present a ton of problems for the Buccaneers on Sunday.
When you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from the first game to now, are they the same team, a much better team, or a team that's maybe a little less because of some of their players being injured?
Yeah, definitely injuries have hurt them, you know, especially in the secondary with – you know, Antoine Winfield Jr., Jordan Whitehead, Jamel Dean, just depth that's been banged up. But I think they're a better team overall than what they were in the beginning of the year. You know, they have vastly improved their running game, one of the best in the league. Obviously, they don't have Chris Godwin, who, you know, eight catches, 83 yards and a touchdown. But they've had other guys step up, and Jalen McMillan and Bucky Irving obviously breaking through as one of the best young running backs in the NFL. So there's definitely some differences, I feel like, with both of these teams. Obviously, Jaden Daniels making his first career start to getting talked about in the MVP conversation a little bit there. So it's definitely different for both of these teams. I would say the Bucs are probably more assured of who they are as a team. Mm-hmm. They're more resilient as a team, and they're definitely – they definitely know what their identity is as a football team, and that matters, especially going into the playoffs.
Let's talk defensively for Tampa. They're quite good against the run and give up a lot in the pass game. Sometimes the numbers, though, can be deceiving. What would you say for Tampa, kind of strengths versus weaknesses defensively?
Yeah, I think it's funny because it's almost the exact opposite, right? Commanders, number 3 against the run. Buccaneers, number 29. And then you look at, you know, the passing or against the pass. Against the run, the Bucs are 4th and the Commanders are 29. So it's kind of a tale. But I think, again, like you mentioned, it doesn't tell the whole thing, you know, because I feel like there's some weaknesses the Bucs can exploit in the Commander secondary. And I feel like there's some weaknesses that the Commanders can exploit with the Buccaneers and their defense. You know, passes over the middle of the field, quick, you know, open space passes and stuff like that to get maybe the backs involved. Bucs have struggled in tackling, I think, has probably been their biggest issue. But, you know, when you look at, like I said, both of these teams are evenly matched. There's both some things on both sides where you look at and you're like, okay, if they can do X, Y, Z, then they can exploit this and like, you know, same thing for the other team. So it's the Bucs defense, they've been banged up, though. You know, lack of pressure has hurt them. They get consistent pressure, but, you know, turning it into sacks and consistent pressure throughout a duration of a game has been an issue as well. They'll have these spurts where all of a sudden they'll, you know, go three drives with three and out. And then, again, like the Saints game, you know, they only touched the ball on offense three times in the first half. Pressure's not getting there, not able to do its job. Mental mistakes, the tackling, penalties. I think those are the big concern points for the Buccaneers is defending the middle of the field, you know, hoping that they can get some of the injured guys back so the Commanders can't just take shots with Terry and Zach and kind of exploit some of those matchups. And they've got to get after Jaden Daniels and contain. That's going to be one of my keys is pressure and contain. You can't let this guy beat you, but you got to get after him too.
Any Winfield, is he going to be able to play? Winfield, I mean, is he going to be able to play?
Well, not sure. Winfield and Jamel Dean, they're starting cornerback and obviously a starting, you know, all-pro safety. Both of those guys are banged up. We're not sure. We spoke with Todd yesterday. He said, you know, those guys aren't in play. The only person that's banged up that is not in play is going to be Jordan Whitehead, who's probably out for the rest of the season.
Whoa. How big of a loss is it if Winfield can't go?
Huge. He hasn't been himself after getting injured in the first game of the season against the Commanders. The last play of the game he got injured, had to miss time several weeks, and then he's missed a couple weeks now with a knee injury. You know, he hasn't really been able to kind of get going and be the guy he was last year. But still, his leadership, his playmaking ability, just his play in general, you know, he's someone that teams – have to fear and have to know where he's at on the field because of everything he can do, right? He's not just a free safety on the back end, you know, making plays and defending the back half of the field. He's coming in on blitz. He's going into the slot. He's, you know, he's doing everything that a DB, that the great DBs do, especially second, you know, safeties and stuff like that. So it would be a huge loss if he can't play, and it will open some things up and some shots up for the Commanders to take. You know, when they decide that they want to air it out.
Have you heard any of the guys discussing Jaden Daniels and his growth from the first game to now?
Well, Rashad went to college with him, Rashad White, at Arizona. So, you know, he's been talking about how proud he is of his guy and stuff like that, you know, for what he's doing. But now he's the enemy. You know, there's love. Before, there's love after, but during, there will be no love for Jaden Daniels. But, yeah, I mean, we haven't – we'll get to talk to Baker tomorrow and open locker room and get to some of these guys and get their thoughts on, you know, the season that they've had. And I'm sure they'll shower praise on him, much deservedly so. You know, doing what he's been able to do as a rookie quarterback has been remarkable and awesome to watch, whether it's through the air or with his legs or his late-game heroics. It's been, you look at that first game too, you know, they had some more time on the clock. Who knows what would have happened? You know, they start coming alive late. And I think that's where it started, with him coming along, you know, coming alive late and, winning some games, but we'll get a lot of that the next couple of days. But, you know, no one's overlooking this team. No one's overlooking this quarterback just because he's a rookie. They're a talented team. He's a talented quarterback and they're going to provide tons of mismatches, opportunities, and things that the Bucs are going to have to plan for.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm talking with J.C. Allen here about the Commanders-Buccaneers matchup Sunday night football. Were you surprised at all that this one got tagged for Sunday night football for kind of the biggest audience?
Yeah, I mean, that is interesting, especially given the markets, right? You know, Washington's a pretty big market. Tampa's a pretty big market in its own right, but it's not one of these bigger markets. I was just glad it wasn't Monday or wasn't Saturday. Night games, no one likes – if you're in the media, no one likes primetime games. But, you know, Bucks have had some issues in primetime all season. Now, I get it. You know, I put this out on my Twitter X page, whatever we're calling it, and I was like, are you guys nervous about the primetime? And it's like, every game's a primetime. It's the playoffs, and that's true. But specifically under the lights, the Bucks have struggled this season. So it's going to be a big test for them. Definitely was a little surprised it was chosen for the Sunday night game, but they were also the Sunday night game last year against the Eagles. That went pretty well for them, so hopefully, you know, they can continue turning in that direction.
J.C., you mentioned that in the first game, if it was some more time on the clock, it could have been different because you saw them starting to make their move late. Did the players notice that as well?
You know, you could definitely, you know, see there's a little bit of life coming, you know, Jaden, you know, you're talking about like a quarter and 2 minutes, that last game, you know, there was some life coming along. Unfortunately, the Bucks were just, you know, a little bit too strong, more cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
Guys who have been there, done that. But, you know, it's a thing that I was talking to some of the guys in the locker room, you know, and after the game, and kind of going over scenarios and what. And, you know, Jaden Daniels, we talked about Jaden Daniels, but he's been, you know, what he did last week against the Falcons, what he did this week against the Cowboys, you know, he's those late game heroics, and they're aware of that. And, you know, some of the guys on defense, we just got to do our job pretty much, make sure we're fundamentally sound, our technique is good, we're tackling and making sure that he's not beating us with his legs and not, you know, beating us extending time in the pocket to let guys get open.
Yeah.
Well, dude, JC, one thing that doesn't track, because if you look at Tampa, I feel like the performances have been pretty consistent most of the season. You know, you drop a pair of losses to Atlanta, but division games are always funky. The one thing that really stands out to me is how bad they played against Dallas 3 weeks ago. And that was a Sunday nighter. Granted, it was on the road. But what happened in that game that Dallas exploited? Like, what happened in that game?
Yeah, again, primetime game. That's one of those things where they've struggled all year. But just they didn't come out fast, and turnovers, lack of execution, turnovers coming out slow. The Bucks finally, for the first time this past weekend, beating the Saints was their first time they've beaten an opponent which has scored first on them all season. Other than that, when an opponent scores first, they've had difficulties, you know, getting back into the game. Of course, you look at some of those losses, you're talking about the Chiefs, the 49ers, the Ravens, you know, the Falcons twice, and a surprising Denver Broncos team that blew them out in week three. But, you know, it was just a combination of multiple things. You can't turn the ball over. You know, they're marching down the field looking to win. All they need is a field goal. You know, they fumbled the ball there at the end, and, you know, that was all she wrote. But, you know, Baker had an interception. Rashad White had a fumble. There was another fumble by Payne Durham. Just kind of penalties, drive-killing things like that, too. Like, that's been a big thing. When you look at
was that the game
had nine penalties for 90 yards. Go ahead, sir.
I'm sorry. Was that the game with the Deron Bland forced that fumble that was just nuts?
Yeah. At the end of the game.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, we ripped it out of the guy going down, but, you know, they're marching their way down. All they need is a field goal. They need about, you know, 40 yards to get a field goal range. And again, they just started off slow. Penalties and turnovers, like, those are the big things that have hurt the Bucks all season. You know, the thing down here to say is Bucks are beating the Bucks. You know, and that's usually what happens. Like, again, last on Sunday, nine penalties, 90 yards. At one drive, they had three penalties, two false starts, and a holding call. Set you back real quick, and that's been the Achilles heel for the Bucks most of the season. When you look at some of these other games that they had that they lost, you know, close game against the Chiefs and against the 49ers. Bucks beating the Bucks has been kind of when they lose these games has been the mantra. But they've been able to overcome a lot of that in recent weeks. Just weren't able to overcome it against the Cowboys 2 weeks ago.
In that first game, Baker was very, very elusive. They got to him, but they couldn't get him down. Has he played like that the rest of the year? Was that just that game where he was just invincible to the Commanders?
You know, Baker is fun to watch because, you know, sometimes you'll get the Baker Mayfield that will scramble around and pick up extra yards, and he'll go for 68 yards like he did on Sunday against the Saints, career high. Career high rushing yards for the season. Sometimes you'll get the Baker who tries to live in chaos and do this, and he'll get himself sacked. I think he's been sacked like 40 times this year, and only like 15 of them have been on the offensive line.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of it, he tries to create in chaos, and sometimes it works out well, and he can scramble on the move. That play to Jalen McMillan to give them the lead. I'm sure you guys have seen it. Just a ball on a rope, scrambles, moves outside of the pocket, yep. Buys himself time, and just an absolute dime of a throw and a beautiful catch by McMillan there to put them up ahead. Sometimes you'll get that Baker. Sometimes you'll get the Baker who will try to spin around and then he just gets sacked by a guy behind him. So he's going to scramble. He's going to do whatever he can. That gets the team fired up. It gets them juiced up knowing that, you know, he's going to take a big hit to pick up a first down. The team will have his back. You know, there was a situation where he scrambled. He kind of got hit, a little bit questionable. It wasn't called or anything like that, but offensive line was up in people's faces right away, and, you know, that gets the offense going, that gets the defense going. You know, when the defense is saying, hey, Baker's out here putting his body on the line trying to pick up a first down, you know, we got to match that intensity. What's our excuse? So Baker is the identity of this football team. Strong, you know, hardworking, lunch pail, do what it takes, put your body on the line. We call him an offensive lineman in a quarterback's body down here. But, you know, and that's kind of been resilient. That's been the team's identity this season, you know. They don't give up. They're resilient. They bounce back. And it's been awesome to watch. He's a down-to-earth quarterback that these guys all can appreciate. And, you know, especially coming off having a megastar like Tom Brady, for him to be like, hey, let's go to the bar and watch the Lions-Vikings game to see what the outcome is. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the cool things about Baker Mayfield that really have the team buying all in on him and together as a unit.
That is cool. And he seems like he seems like the kind of dude you really like if he's on your team, and he might annoy the hell out of you if he's on another team. And Baker's been fantastic. I'm not trying to knock him at all. You know, he's third in the NFL in yards passing, second in the NFL in touchdowns, but he does lead the NFL in interceptions. How much of the picks have been a volume thing versus sometimes he just tries to force it? How can you expect him to protect the football Sunday night?
Yeah, I'd say probably half and half. I mean, you've got some tip balls in there, some just defenders making really good reads on it, and, you know, you got to give the credit to them sometimes, and some have just been like, Bake, what are you doing? You can't do that. You know, he also has had a lot of fumbles this season. Obviously, he's dealing with a rookie center, too, so you kind of give some leeway there. But, yeah, turnovers are going to be critical. You cannot win the ball game if you turn the ball over. That's going to be something that's going to be preached all week, been preached all season. But making the smart reads, making the smart throws, throwing it away, throwing it in the dirt if you need to, whatever's not going to turn the ball over is how you need to play. And, you know, Baker had an interception on Sunday. You know, it's not like he was clean then. You know, he played a good, strong game. But, again, you know, interception, and they get points off the pick. And that's something that, again, you know, the Baker, when he's hot, he's hot. When he's not, it's you're worried about the next throw. But he's also done a great job at bouncing back from some of these, too. Now, some of them cost him the game. Some of them he's overcome, and they've won the game. So, you know, ball security, whether that's Baker Mayfield, that quarterback, whether it's, you know, on the snap, on the throw, and everybody else who's going to touch the ball, ball security is going to be a heavy emphasis this week. You cannot win these games if you're committing 9 penalties for 100 yards and turning the ball over once or twice. It's just not going to go your way.
I can't wait for this matchup. Yeah. It's fascinating because the Bucs are, you know, an established team. Hell, they're only, 4 years removed from that Super Bowl? You probably got a bunch of guys on this team that still have a Super Bowl ring, but they've kind of had to rebuild it on the fly, whereas Washington is ahead of schedule, coming down there with a rookie quarterback that's got the world on a string. There's just so many intriguing storylines. JC, I know people can follow you at JC Allen NFL. But if they want to check out your podcast or the rest of your content this week, especially, where should they look?
Yeah, it's going to be it's an awesome week. I think this is going to be an awesome game between two really well-matched teams who have both done some really good things this season. You know, Commanders maybe not where a lot of people expected them to be with a rookie quarterback and after a turnaround. And, you know, Commanders bucking the trend. They went out and signed a bunch of veterans and made a bunch of offseason moves. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't pay off for teams. And it's paid off for the Commanders in a big way. Well, the Bucs, they've had to get extremely younger, the second youngest team in the league behind the Packers after being the oldest when Tom Brady was here 2 years ago. They've had to endure Tom Brady's dead cap hit and dead cap hits from other people like Ryan Jensen, who retired. And then this offseason, they had to re-sign all their own players. So they really haven't been able to make many splashes in free agency outside of their own guys, and, you know, they've had to rely on the draft. So this is it's going to be a fun matchup between these two teams. I'm excited for Sunday Night Football. after enjoying a full slate of weekend football. But if you guys want to find me again on X, you can find me there. Bucks Game Day, Sports Illustrated. You guys can find all of our work there. I'll be having some previews out there on what to look for players to watch, matchup history, and then on my podcast, Pirate Parlay. That will be on Wednesday and Friday. We'll go behind enemy lines. We'll have one of you guys that cover the Commanders come on, talk about that to the Bucks fans to kind of let them know what they're expecting, and we'll do like a preview show there too. So I'll be everywhere, anywhere you can find me. DMs are always open. If you guys have any questions about the Bucks, feel free to reach out. But as always, appreciate doing this. And hey, maybe we'll be doing this again next year. Who knows?
Hell yeah.
All right, JC. Yeah, man. JC, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. How's it going, guys?
We got quite a matchup coming up, B.
Yes,
fired up for it, dude. I want to talk specifically about playing a team a second time in these types of situations, Brian. If you got a team in the, if you got a second crack at a team that you played in the regular season in the playoffs, what it did for your mindset. Tackling that next, it's B. Mitchell Pinto.
106.7 The Fan. Snowy day. I'm here in the Navy Yard Studios. JP's at home. Got some issues taking care of the baby girls, and we know how that is around this time of the year. People get a little under the weather, and you know what? Dads will take care of their babies, especially their little girls. And JP had mentioned before we left off the air, how do you approach playing a team the second time? And for me, you know, playing in the NFC East and also seeing some guys later in the playoffs that you had seen earlier that year, the way it is for me, I just went back to the game and watched everything to try to make sure I had a keen idea on what they were trying to do. And then after going through the tape and trying to figure all that out, you come back and you start trying to watch yourself. You knew what the game plan was, and you tried to find out what they did against you to try and circumvent what you were trying to do or trying to upset what you were doing. And then you came up with a game plan to, if we go with some of these same things, because some coaches are so confident in their scheme and in their players, they're going to run the exact same stuff against a person the second time. They don't change anything up. Other coaches don't feel that way, so they'll adjust and may come back to it or have another adjustment off of that. With Coach Gibbs, he would try and go with what we did the first time, especially if we had some level of success. If we didn't, he may, you know, try to adjust some things. But I think the main thing for me is to make sure I go into the game and understand everything that I did that did not go right. All the things I did right, I don't have to waste a lot of time on it. I have to try to enhance that. But the things I did wrong, I wanted to totally correct. And I think if every man to a man were to go into the game with that mindset and you correct the things you did wrong, you put yourself in a way better chance. If there was a turnover, were you trying to get too much without bringing your second hand on the ball? Or were you just, the guy just had an unbelievable hit and you could do the same thing next time? You don't have to worry about that. You know, you begin to look at all those little things. And then on top of it, what I did, I talked to players in my position and I talked to players on the other side, but that they got a linebacker position, or I asked them to watch the film with me to let me know what I could have done different or what I could have done better in that situation. So I don't think you go into it trying to completely change up anything. It's just trying to take the things you've done and enhance it, you know, overhaul some things in a sense. The Buccaneers in the first game, they had their way early with Washington. And if they are like any other person out there, they're going to feel like, oh, you know what, we're better than that team. And they were the better team that day. But as you just heard the guy J.C. Allen just state, if that game had more time, Washington started to make some adjustments and began to make plays against Buccaneers. Washington have to look at the second half and late in that game and see what they did differently to be able to start having some level of success and try not to let that game get away from them. Because what I just finished hearing from listening to J.C. Allen was, Tampa don't play good in primetime games. I want to make sure they don't. Also, what I started to hear from him was that, you know, they realized what Washington was starting to do. So the mindset is, who are they going to be thinking about? Is it going to be what Washington was early or what Washington became late in that game? And knowing their head coach, Ty Bowles, I think Todd is going to understand that this team is better than what they thought and is better now than what they were. So he's going to try to find ways to confuse Jaden. Jaden is going to have to be on point, you know? And in the first game, we had the whole damn the area talking about he shouldn't run the football. I want him to do whatever he damn needs to do to get the play and be successful in it. Because at this point now, there is no tomorrow once you get into that game. If you have to win to keep moving forward. So if we want to move forward, we need to allow every player on that field to empty the clip. That's the way it has to be. If you have it in you, it has to come out in that football game.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's like when I'm getting that, Jay, I was like, you have to look at the old tape, what you had, and try to correct things that you did wrong and enhance the things you did well. But also know this,
for sure,
human nature is going to creep into that game. Tampa's going to believe we're better than them. They're not better than us. And just hope that thought process keep them away from watching film or working out a little harder just for a smidget, and it comes back to get him in that game.
B, I think it's a very different game this week because I think Jaden is so much better. It's funny you said that. You got me thinking. Remember after the Tampa game, folks were so concerned about Jaden running and his ability to slide and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. How silly does all that stuff seem now?
It was silly then to me. But it's even more silly now when you get – it's like a small group of people, and you know who the group is. Just like you always say this, the people that talk about the name of this team are not necessarily fans of the team. The people that talk about Jaden sliding all the time, they aren't really fans of Jaden. They were fans of Caleb. They were fans of what's the kid up there in New England?
Yeah.
So they always find something to knock. They're not the true – fans of him and this team. We get those outsiders who try to bring that little narrative in, and we got to learn to ignore those bastards, point blank.
I have a feeling those people have given up. Whatever narrative they're trying to push, it's a little too late now. I think, you know, specific with Jaden, he's got to use his legs. He's got to use every opportunity he gets.
Yeah.
I do think one thing, as we've been talking about, you know, injuries and everything else, you saw a little bit from Eckler against Dallas.
Yeah.
But it wasn't very impactful. I think they put him out there against Dallas.
Get his feet wet.
What's that?
They wanted to just get his feet wet.
Yeah, but I think even more than that, B, I wonder, and I never came back from a concussion. I don't know if you did, but like,
yeah.
I wonder. On some level, you want to remind the player, like, yo, you're good to go. You got this. You think there's any bit of that?
No, I don't think that's a problem with it. He's had concussions before. But I think the ultimate thing is you just get the guy back on the field. He had been out some games. You want to get his feet wet. In that game, you don't want to risk anything because, like, you had made – I think you mentioned this last week where these guys coming back now at the playoffs, that's a damn plus. So you don't want to put him in Dallas game and he gets hurt and he can't play the next week. So you want to get out there, get his feet wet a little bit, get him familiar with it again so he could be ready to go this week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's the ultimate thing about it because, like the concussion I had, I went back in that game. And then the next week, I was going full speed as if I never had one because I think the natural ability of the athlete, if you're concerned, you don't go. When you're unconcerned, you go full speed. And when you start going half speed on a football field, that's when you end up hurt.
You never want to be thinking about whatever, an injury or anything else.
Right.
One thing I do think is a concern, I think this is legit. This kid, I think it's Kalijah Kancey. He's been really good for Tampa. He finished the year with 7.5 sacks in 12 games. He had a dominant stretch probably like around Thanksgiving for Tampa. He didn't play week one, and he's very much a difference maker defensively.
Mm-hmm.
So while they are still going to probably be without some guys on the back end, Kancey being back is a big factor that I think Washington fans should kind of be aware of at least.
Is he this is the first question I ask. Is he like my man from Dallas?
He's not Parsons. Nobody's okay. Parsons.
So if he's not Parsons, then maybe the person that he has to go against can block him. And if they can block him one-on-one, you're cool. If they can't, you got to chip a little bit. I will tell you this. Going into a game.
He's not an edge. He's not like a pure edge guy. He's 6'2", 280. So he's like a different build kind of is what I would say.
Okay. But like that guy right there, even him, tight ends, running backs, make his shoulders and his ribs hurt by the end of this game.
Yeah.
See, you can slow down some of these guys, but you don't want to interfere with your offensive lineman blocking.
Right.
But there's a way to hit that SOB in his damn rib or in his shoulder when he's coming off the edge and make him realize he don't be no space around here today, baby. And he's going to start trying to stay in the middle of offensive linemen and not many offensive linemen you're running over. Now, if you be able to get around this side and I'm going out, hell, I'll take a little extra second, pop you, and keep going.
Well, I also wonder, knowing that this dude Kancey is back and they didn't see him the last time, like, he is going to be an interior guy.
Uh-huh.
One, you're going to need Biotish, right?
Yeah.
Because you're talking like an A-gap, B-gap kind of guy. Two, I think because you can't plan on the chip on the edge or a tight end helping as much, like if they're running pistol formation, whoever that back is needs to be able to help in pass pro on the interior.
Yeah.
And I almost wonder if DQ talked about that with B-Rob because they know that's a real issue this week with them having Kancey back.
Because that's like we would run this thing like Charlie 10 Hitch and things like that and powers where sometimes we'll fake that same play through the A gap and also be there to protect against a dominant like nose guard or tackle. And they do a lot of stuff right up the field, so they should be able to incorporate that relatively easily.
Yep, well said there, B. Here's what I want to do, Brian.
Yeah.
A little bit of breaking news, which specifically you will find very interesting. You ready for that?
Uh-huh.
I got it when we return. It's B. Mitch and Finley. We're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. And while we are focused on Washington's game Sunday night against Tampa and the upcoming super wild card weekend in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can do this math on the top of my head. 32 minus 14 in 18 other NFL markets. They're focused on if the coaches staying, if the GM's staying, who should they get, who they fire.
Yep.
And, Brian, there's been a ton of interview requests and all that sort of stuff. And a couple guys have already had interviews. Most of that stuff will start next week. But guess who is interviewing today in New England?
Who's that?
Byron Leftwich.
Oh, B. I kind of had a few conversations with B of earlier this year. He said, you know, he was going to be back in the mix soon, and maybe he's just been waiting for the right moment.
Well, I found it interesting. So
if he really
Mike Jones,
gets the one, Jay, I might be gone. Though. I'm letting you know.
What's that?
If he gets a good one, I might be gone.
You've always told me that, although I don't know that New England's the place for you.
Nah, I'd probably get in some trouble up there.
Mike Jones is the one reporting this from The Athletic, obviously old Washington Post Redskins reporter. So Byron Leftwich interviewing for the New England Patriots head coaching job. I find that fascinating. I mean, that dude almost got the Jaguars job and didn't because he didn't want to work with Trent Baalke.
Uh-huh.
And then a guy like, I mean, Doug Peterson, who had a Super Bowl ring, took that job. Now he's on the way out, and Baalke's sticking around. Baalke's clearly a problem. He was a problem in San Fran. He's a problem in Jacksonville.
Byron was smart.
Right. But now, you know, but when you're out of the league, it gets a little trickier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he's going to get this job, but I'm really happy to see him interviewing for it.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll interview for more than that one, too, probably.
Yeah, which is great. And you have mentioned that you kind of had a feeling he would get back in. And we had him. Didn't we have him on earlier this year?
Yeah, yeah. When he was talking about Jaden to us.
See if you can get him on this week. Just what, you know, a coincidence.
When they start going to them jobs, that's when they kind of disappear from the interviews.
Right, yeah. His phone got to be quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
I find that one fascinating. So I want to run through all the coaches getting hired. I mean, you got like coordinators getting fired. The Seahawks just fired their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
The Bengals tried to blame their collapse on their defensive coordinator, which I find laughable. But I thought this was pretty interesting because this is a friend of the program writing it. Like somebody I like Bobby Belt does a good job covering the Cowboys.
Yes.
And that Dallas situation just seems so bizarre in that, I mean, Jerry Jones seems like a eighth grade boyfriend who didn't want Mike McCarthy. And now there's some, at least speculation that the Bears might want McCarthy.
Uh-huh.
So then Jerry wants McCarthy back. Is that just like, is this how multi-billion dollar organizations should be run?
Well, I think Jerry never said he didn't want him, but people speculated he would be gone. Jerry is going to do things when Jerry wants it done. And Jerry's going to allow you to do things when Jerry wants you to do it. So if Mike was wishing that he could get out and just jump into something, and that's what Jerry speculates, Mike going to be sitting there for another year. I'm telling you. And let's be real. If are mature, they're not. A lot of rich people are some of the most, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Irresponsible, immature people in the world, dog.
Yeah, I think
they
really,
just know
really
that they can do what they want to do, and it makes them seem powerful when it's more of them just being petty as hell.
B, I think really, really rich people like that. Some of it is petty and power grabs and all that, but they also become so insulated. Like, just they're so far removed from regular down-to-earth behavior that what they think is normal, they're just surrounded by sycophants and just don't ever get to find out what else there is going on. And I just find it kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
For Jerry, obviously, he operates in his own universe.
Yeah.
Brian Flores is another guy that is talking about, you know, head coaching opportunities. He says he seems like he really wants to be back as a head coach, says he'll take any interview that gets requested. He was asked specifically about the Patriots job and said, I would say yes, but it's not up to me. It's pretty fascinating to see how this is going to shake out.
Yeah.
And I just – some of these teams are putting together a long – big list of candidates. And I understand, I mean, cast a wide net. Aaron Glenn's going to be a hot commodity. Obviously, Ben Johnson going to be a hot commodity. Like, there's a lot of names out there. Mike Vrabel. One thing that's going to be fascinating, Ben Johnson, they got the one seed. So he's able to interview next week. But depending what you believe or whatever, maybe he's not the best interviewer, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just disinterested in some of these interviews.
Yeah, could be.
Vrabel's going to be available immediately for in-person. I can fly to you. You can fly to me, whatever you want to do. And I find it interesting how it's all going to shake out.
Yeah.
Let's run through all the available jobs, what we think are the best jobs when we return. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
All right.